Something this morning, a phrase that is used only once in the Bible and only used by the Apostle Paul. That phrase is the last trump. You're probably familiar with it, and you probably know where it is.
Yes.
Right? It's in 1 Corinthians 15. So let's read a couple verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start at 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time together around your word. We pray that you would give us understanding, make these verses clear to us, and help us to grow in your word. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, now, the last trump. All right, there's a couple things about that. Obviously, when you say last, that means there's more than one. All right. And when you say trump, you're talking about a sound that's made by an instrument called a trumpet, right? So the trumpet makes the sound trump.
That was my position in violin school. I was the last.
You were the last. I'm pretty sure that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. But anyway, we appreciate that. When we talk about the last trump, what event are we basically discussing? Right? The rapture. Now, I remember there was a time when I said rapture to a particular individual, and right away they said, it's not in the Bible. And that's true, the word's not, but the event certainly is. Unfortunately, the way that person said it, it was as if because that word's not there, they didn't believe that there was such a thing. But it's there in 1 Corinthians 15. It's also there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says, we shall be caught up together. And it's there in 2 Thessalonians when Paul says, our gathering together. Right. I appreciate in both of those verses, he adds the word together at the end. Because you're not going anywhere without me. Right. We're all going to go as one new man. Every member in the body of Christ is going to be caught up. Okay? But this phrase, the last trump, is actually only part of that event called the rapture. But what is this thing about trumps and trumpets and so on? We get a glimpse at the use of a trumpet in the book of Numbers. So hold 1 Corinthians 15 because we'll come back. And we're going to go to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. fourth book in the Bible, and chapter 10. This gives us some insight into the use of a trumpet. Right. Numbers chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. So there we have two uses, right, of a trumpet. The calling of the assembly. That's kind of the gathering, right? And the journeying of the camp. You know, when we get called, we're going to go on a journey, right? We're going to be, here we are over here. We're going to be going up to the heavenly places, right? So no wonder that a trumpet is used in regard to this event. Let's go back to, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And as I mentioned, the last trump is just a part of this event. Look at in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, how many of us are flesh and blood? Right? We all are. We all are. You all brought your flesh and blood with you this morning. Right? That shows that you're alive. Well, that verse tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, on Sunday mornings, the second meeting, Brother John has been sharing out of Colossians, and he's been sharing those verses that say, giving thanks to the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So are you a partaker of the inheritance? Yes. Yes, you are. So you have an inheritance. But that verse says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, which is it? Either you can inherit or you can't inherit. Well, Jim wants to say... Okay. Well, we as men, as people, are tripartite. That just means we're made of three parts. Right? Spirit, soul, and body. God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, man became a living soul. Our bodies are from the dust of the earth. Our spirit is that breathing of God's life into man, and man is a soul. You're a soul. Okay? So, you do inherit. Right? But this flesh and blood does not. Okay? So, there needs to be a change. There needs to be a change, and that's what we're talking about here. And that's what we're referring to with the last trump. It is going to signify a change to this body. Okay? In Romans 8, Paul calls it the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And what will that body look like? Again, hold 1 Corinthians and go to, if you would, Philippians chapter 3. You're familiar with this verse, I take it. Philippians 3 and 21. 3:21. I guess we'll read 20. Makes sense. 20 says, For our conversation is in heaven, From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able to subdue all things unto himself. So that's the change that's going to take place at the last trump. That last trump also signifies the departure, right, to the heavenly places. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, at this point, I would like to give you a little of my background. I grew up a religious heathen. Right? I was religious, but I wasn't saved. And pretty much lived like every other heathen. Although I tried to be good. Right? It didn't work out too well. Pretty much Henry shared that this morning. Trying to keep the law. Right. I went to catechism into my high school years. But it wasn't until I was married and with the help of my dear wife, she's watching online, right, with her help, I trusted in Christ as my Savior. I believed that His blood shed on the cross was a sacrifice for my sins. And that He was buried and He rose again bodily on the third day. I became, like you, a believer. This was about in the mid-70s. Now, at that time, the so-called Jesus movement was in full swing. And they talked a lot about the rapture. Okay? They told me that the Lord is coming for His church and is going to take us off of this planet and is going to take us into heaven. I had never heard of such a thing. Never. It sounded like science fiction to me. But they showed me some verses, and so I came to understand that that's a true teaching. That He is coming back for the church, the body of Christ. I also learned a word, eschatology. They taught me eschatology. Any word that ends in ology means the study of, or the field of study. And eschatos is a Greek word, just means the end. Right? So eschatology is the study of the end. And so that I really became interested in these kinds of things. The rapture, end times, right? And needless to say, there's lots of people out there that want to tell you about it. There's a lot of different views, and there's a lot of different opinions and voices. Okay. So it became very confusing to me. And I know you've heard this and you probably experienced this, that if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be confused. And I was. And I was confused about this. Read with me. We're in 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read with you this. These two verses, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Okay, so I wondered, as many people do, when is this going to happen? Right? But it does tell us there, doesn't it? It tells us exactly when it's going to happen. Right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen at the last trump. So all we have to do is look at, right, just look in the Bible, look for the last trump, and then you can figure out when the rapture is. That's what I was told. Right. One of the things I was told is that the last trump here, 1 Corinthians 15, is the last trumpet sound in the book of Revelation. There are seven trumpet judgments, and the seventh trumpet, they say, is the last trumpet. Okay. I don't know if I ever believed that. Is somebody stuck in the wall there? That's okay. You don't have to check it out. It's okay. It's probably just the air conditioner or something. I don't know if I ever believed that, but I certainly entertained that thought. And I'd like to take a look and see if that's true or not. It's not. Okay? Well, then why would we want to look at it if it's not the last trump? It's because many people believe that. I kind of believed it. Right? How many people here this morning were saved into a local church that rightly divided the word of truth? Anybody? Looks like nobody. Well, that's it. I was thinking maybe a few people, but nobody. Right? I wasn't. And so what happened when I came to this assembly is I brought some teachings with me. I brought some thoughts and some views that not so scriptural. Okay, some baggage, that's right. I brought baggage with. So, I could say this, right? I'm not saying you, this is what I'm saying to myself. You can listen in. I could say, you know, I've learned that Paul is my apostle, right? And Paul didn't write the book of Revelation, right? So, therefore, I don't really, it's not for me. The whole Bible's for me, but not everything is to me or about me. And I don't see that being the book of Revelation, so I really don't need to put a lot of effort or study into it. Right? That's not the right attitude to have. Number one, you should know what you believe and why you believe it, and why certain things are not true. Who knows? You may end up talking to somebody who thinks that that last trumpet in the book of Revelation is when we will be raptured. There's a problem with that. Okay, so let's do this. Let's look at in Revelation. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 8. I want you to look with me at the book of Revelation and chapter 8. And I'm just going to read the first two verses in chapter 8. 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, this is the Lord Jesus in the throne room of God. Right? You probably remember in chapter 5, John is weeping because no one can open that scroll, the title deed to the earth. Right? No one was found worthy. Ah, but there is one who is a lamb, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. Right? And he begins in chapter 6 to open the seals on that scroll. Okay. So, again, 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of an half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Drop down to verse 7, the first four words. The first angel sounded. Okay. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded. Right. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded. And so on. Right. Let's get to the seventh sounding. That's in chapter 10. So flip forward to chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading at verse 5. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, and verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. The first thing that stands out, at least to me, is in verse 7, it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. So it sounds like he's sounding the seventh trumpet, but it sounds like it's going on for days. Well, that's not anywhere close to what we read in 1 Corinthians 15. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 15? It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, right? And it doesn't say blinking. It doesn't say winking. It says twinkling. Right? A blink is too slow. Right? A twinkle is what? It's the reflection of light off of the surface of your eye. We're talking about the speed of light. That's how fast it happens in 1 Corinthians. Here it takes days. Okay? Not the same thing. It's not the same thing. And at the end of verse 6, it says that there should be time no longer. Now, that doesn't mean there's no more minutes and hours and days. Not talking about that. What it's saying is, in the common vernacular, time's up. Time's up. Patty and I raised three boys. At times, they were messy. And I would go and I would say, now listen, you have 5 minutes to clean up this mess. Otherwise, no dessert. You're going to get 2 helpings of broccoli. Right? That was a motivation. Right? And what? I would come back 5 minutes later and say, time's up. Right? Time no longer exists for you to clean up that mess. Right? So, in these verses, it's time's up for what? What is their time no longer for? Well, it's in the verse 7. In the middle of the verse, it says, the mystery of God. Time's up for the mystery of God. Okay? Now, is that this mystery?
No.
It says mystery.
No.
It says mystery. It says mystery here. It says mystery there. Tom says, it's not that mystery. Hold your place there and go with me to the book of Colossians. Let's see what our Apostle Paul has to say about this. All right. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read 1 and 2. Colossians 2:1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of, here we go, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So how many mysteries are there in that verse? There's three. You have the mystery of God, you have the mystery of the Father, and you have the mystery of Christ. Let's take a quick look at those. For that, we'll need to go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Okay, I should point out that this is part of, 9 and 10, are part of a long sentence that began back in Ephesians 1. It began in verse 3. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in verse 9, when it says mystery of His will, we're talking about the mystery of the Father. Okay? Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, verse 10, here it is, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So in a future dispensation, He's gathering all things together in Christ. Mystery of the Father. Turn the page. Now we're in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here it is, the mystery of Christ. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. So that body is the body of Christ. That's the mystery of Christ. So we have the mystery of the Father, the mystery of Christ, and let's go back to Revelation, if you would please. Revelation chapter 10. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. It's going to tell you what the mystery of God is, as He hath declared to His servants, the prophets. That's the mystery of God. Isn't it interesting, right? Back here, in time past, there was information revealed to the prophets. We call that the mystery of God. It's going to be finished here. But here, in the dispensation of the grace of God, another set of information was revealed, this time to the Apostle Paul, called the mystery of Christ. Okay. Then in the future, in ages to come, It's going to be another mystery, the mystery of the Father, which talks about a dispensation of the fullness of times. They'll take place in the ages to come. Isn't that interesting that there's three mysteries? One in time past, one now, and one in the ages to come. It just fits together so well, right? By the way, if you happen to be talking to somebody who believes that that seventh trumpet in Revelation is when the church is raptured, if you're having any discussion with them, it's a good way to introduce dispensational Bible teaching. Right? The whole Bible's for us, but it's not all to us. All right. Okay. So, is it possible that the seventh trumpet sound in Revelation 10 is the last trump in 1 Corinthians 15? No. Ken's really shaking his head no. He really doesn't believe it. No. Okay. That's good. Okay. To know what is not. Now, let's talk about what it is. Okay. For that, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would please. Now, we all know that 1 Corinthians 15 is a chapter about what? 1 Corinthians 15 is about resurrection. Resurrection of what? All of us. Our bodies, that's it. It's about resurrection of the body. Okay, look at verse 35, if you would, please. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? It's in this setting, when he's talking about that, what body they will have, that he brings in this matter of the rapture. Right? Now, I'm going to start reading down at 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, I'd like to try and simplify this by writing this up on the board here. Okay. Who's the first man? Adam. So, Adam. It's called first. Who's the last Adam? Christ. He's called the last. This is a principle. Whenever you have more than one thing, you can have the first and you can have the last. If you have five things, doesn't matter whether they're cars, pencils, avocados. Thank you, Joseph. Yeah. Now, you have five avocados out there. Number one is first. Number five is last. Okay? This is a principle. Okay, verse 47. The first man is of the earth. Who's that?
Adam.
Again, he's called first. But this time, the second man is the Lord from heaven. This time, the second man, he's called what? He's called second. When you have two things, we have here, we're talking about two men. One's first, one's second. But also, one's first and one's last. So the second, in this case, can be the last, can't he? The answer is yes. You don't need to go anyplace else looking for a bunch of trumpets. I'm telling you, there's going to be two trumpets in this chapter. One's going to be first, one's going to be last. That'll be our last trumpet. This is just a principle here, showing you that the second of something, in this case men, can be the last. You follow me? Okay. Look again at, we read verse 50 before, but I'm going to read it again. 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We've got two groups of people in that verse. Do you see which one, which they, what they are? Do you see them? One is dead, referred to as corruption. One group is alive, it's called flesh and blood. Over here we have two men. Now we're going to have two groups. Two groups. Two men. Two groups. Look down at verse 53. You're going to see these two groups of people again. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Okay. Whenever a person dies, immediately they begin to corrupt. It doesn't matter. I don't know how long it takes, but if a person's buried and you come back in 10 years, you don't see flesh and blood. Right? No more flesh and blood. You just see corruption, decay. Decay. Okay, so here they use the word corruptible. Corruptible. And for living, he uses the word mortal. A mortal is a person who can die but still alive. Right? Think of it this way. Look at verse 53 again. I'm going to read it. I'm not reading directly from the verse, right? I'm just saying. Think of it this way. For this corruptible body must put on an incorruptible body. And this mortal body must put on an immortal body. That's the change that we've been talking about. Because this flesh and blood, it can't inherit the kingdom of God. So there has to be a change. Okay, this is, we're talking about believers. Right? Believers. Okay, now we're going to practice a little Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, don't go there. Don't go there. She's going there anyway. Okay, Isaiah 28 is talking about the understanding the Word of God. And it says, you can understand the Word of God precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Okay, we're going to practice that. 1 Corinthians 15 is here a little. Now, there a little is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So, hold 1 Corinthians 15 and go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Here a little, there a little. I'll try and wrap this up. Okay. But I would not have you, I'm in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there's the gospel. If we believe the gospel, Even so, if you were to die, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So that word sleep indicates what?
Death.
Death. Right. Sleep. Or asleep. So we have a group of people that have died. Verse 16. Oh, I skipped 15. We have to read 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that's by direct revelation, Paul received this information, that we, Paul's including himself in this group because he's alive, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. So, I'm going to write asleep. So, you have these two groups. Some who are asleep, they're dead. Some that are alive, they're the living ones. Two groups. Now we have to determine which one's going to go first and which one is going to go last. Okay? I should mention, this helped me, the word at the end of 15, it says, the Lord, I have to read the verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Think of that word, prevent, as two words. Pre-event. There's not going to be a pre-event where those who are living are going to go before those who are asleep. So, we're talking about the rapture. Who's going to be raptured first? Those who are asleep. Okay. For the Lord, this is 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. I'm going to write that down here. The 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So the first trumpet sound is by the trump of God raising the dead in Christ in their new resurrection body. Okay. A body fashioned like unto our glorious Lord. Okay. What's the first word in verse 17?
Then.
So, here's the first. Then you're going to have a second sound. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That second sounding of the trumpet, you have to flip back to 1 Corinthians 15. Here a little, there a little. In 15 it says, in a moment, 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So there's not going to be a lot of time between 1 and 2. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And here it fits in. The last trumpet is the second trump. The first trump is a trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise. Then the last trump, the second trump, and we who are alive shall be changed. Who wants to be changed? I want to be changed. So I'm looking for, that's why I said the last trump is really a part of the rapture. Right? Dead in Christ, we who are alive, if the Lord comes today, could the Lord come today? It's possible the Lord could come today. If He came today, there would be the trump of God, the dead would rise. We all know somebody who's passed away, right? Who will be resurrected. And then in a moment, not a long period of time, don't feel bad, they go first. I'm happy about that. They can go first, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we will be changed. And what will happen? Right? I'm going to go back to First Thessalonians. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the dead who are resurrected, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm going to end with verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay. Amen. Henry, if you wouldn't mind coming up, and we'll sing one last song. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this truth that's in your word. Thank you, we can understand it, we can know it, we can look forward to it, we can believe it, and we do. Amen.